The views expressed in this podcast are solely of UO Insider and do not reflect the views of our advertisers. Hey, welcome back to UO Insider. It's your host, Static. It's another great week in front of us. I'm back. This episode's going to be a little bit longer than last week. Last week, obviously, with July 4th, I still have all my fingers. I would show them to you guys, but you guys can't hear my... Well, I guess I could wave them past the mic and you can hear my fingers, but welcome back, guys. Pretty huge week this week. A lot of news to cover, not only in console gaming and PC gaming, but in UO gaming. Last week, obviously, pretty short. This week, obviously, pretty long, right? We have a pretty big interview this week with JC the Builder. You guys have asked your questions. They're pretty monumental. He has tons of respect inside the community, so that's pretty amazing. I'm glad I can get just a few moments with him. If you guys don't know who JC the Builder is, JC the Builder owns and operates UOGuide.com. UOGuide is so comprehensive in all UO knowledge and everything that goes on in UO. You guys definitely need to check it out. If you haven't, give him like 50 clicks a day. Just keep going to that site. Keep dragging, you know, click his AdSense links. Give him some cash. Donate to his cause. The guy works hard at doing this. Again, thank you guys for continuing listening to the podcast. We've grown now, I believe, to 20 followers. And we've reached the threshold of 10,000 hits. And just these small little podcasts. So thank you. Last week I said thank you to a few members, and this week at the end I'm going to say it as well. Also, we got the $20 million gold contest starting this week. It's going to be a little two-part series, a little bit of scavenger hunt, I would assume, maybe, right? So you guys are looking forward to that. Again, if you guys haven't heard about the contest, I'm paying out some G-Roll money to any of the shards, as long as it's a proto shard, not Siege, not Mugen, or whatever you guys want to call it. And then on top of that, I have my UO rant. It's starting this week. This week it deals with Siege, and Siege is... Some players piss me off. Because they think it's okay to transfer gold to the shard. I can understand on a proto shard that you need 500 million to even do anything. But, yeah, we'll get into that. And I'm going to name names because I'm tired of it. And I'm not going to be banned from any of the forms because the people have clearly posted that they're doing it. So... It's pretty public knowledge. I'm not slandering anybody, but it's freaking ridiculous. With that, we're going to jump straight into UO news. UO Insider brought to you by UOForms.com. Fansites, remember, you can advertise with us. Send me an email, UOPodcast@gmail.com. So in the UO news world, not too much since I last talked to you guys. I'm not... too excited about it because it's not really that big of a deal. This week they just released on July 8th Components of Power, which is some fiction. You guys can check that out. It's going on with the whole entire Tiramir quest. Again, they're talking about, you know, making shorter arcs in the stories, making it you know, quicker rewards per se and more replayability. So they're trying. I mean, I know, but it just seems like there's no connection to the community. It's just like, yeah, here you go. I don't know. Also, on July 6th, they released some game balancing changes. I mean, they cover everything from focus to cure potions. You know, they cover chivalry. They cover some new buff icons, stuff like that. I mean, if you guys want to check out the details exactly, I would go through every single one of them. I just don't want the podcast to be 6.5 hours. You guys can check that out at uoherald.com or uo.com. Also, new fishing features. You guys get some fish oil, which can be added to cooking. Schools of magical fish. Doesn't that sound exciting? And then cracked lava rocks. Players may crack these and then see what's inside. Really? You're going to give us freaking rocks that we quote unquote crack. And then we get to see what's inside. How exciting. I cannot wait to get my crack rocks. I can't wait. I'm so hooked on my crack rocks. Also some new fishing reward quest, or rewards for the quest. Sorry. And then there's a new high sea encounter, which is pretty exciting. Then there's everything on bug fixes from adding sound to tinkering. What the hell were you guys thinking when you added sound to tinkering? If you guys haven't tinkered lately, it sounds like you're constantly under attack. It's possibly the most annoying sound ever. It sounds like if you're a sword or a fencer and you're, you know, attacking something. It's that constant freaking ting noise. You know what? I'm actually going to play it for you guys. And then I'm just going to keep playing it until everyone gets the point about how damn annoying this sound is. I happen to tinker quite a bit. It's annoying. So you guys want to hear it? Yeah, let's hear it. And if that's not enough, I'll just keep playing it because each one of those sounds is when you're tinkering. The sound effect is called Sword One, and it just replays and replays and replays and replays. It drives you freaking nuts. Why can't they pick, like, this sound?
Oh, man! Come on! I'm begging you! Please!
I mean, you guys get the point. Regardless, it's pretty annoying. I know a lot of you guys don't play crafters, but we need help. We need a serious community manager somewhere inside UO that's willing to help a little bit instead of just picking these refurb sounds. There's thousands of sounds that they have that they've never even touched or used. If they've used, it's been way in the past. They could just like reverse it maybe. How about that? Like, how about, like, if we just reverse that sound, does it sound any better? Nope, just sounds like the butterfly effect. It still sounds like shit. So, that completes UO News this week. I'm sorry that you guys didn't gain anything from this week. So in console gaming this week, there was a huge ruling in California, of course, lovely California, they just like sticking their nose out there. Sale of violent games to minors, okay in the USA. A California law banning the sale of rental of violent video games to children has been rejected by the United States Supreme Court. This is still going on with the Columbine excuse about if kids play violent games that they will shoot and kill everybody. That's another reason why UO removed cutting up people. That's another reason why UO is rejecting what made UO great, not only with griefing. If you guys are still calling it griefing, for God's sakes, go take some Zoloft or something, because it's not. Just at my limit with this, with stealing or PvP or anything like that. While I don't like PvP players, while I think a lot of them are arrogant pricks, I also think there's a good side to PvP players who just like player versus player. It's a different look at the game, and they're really good at it. For those who don't use our wonderful cheating programs out there, I'm sure you know. Actually, you know what's cool? I'm trying to get an interview with them. I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to post it, but it should be okay. Also, Xbox doesn't think that gamers want 3D. I mean, it's pretty interesting. They go a little bit in the detail about why they feel like they're being forced. Microsoft feels like they're being forced to go into 3D. I don't think players really want it either. I think if we just keep improving the graphics to where they're at, I mean, LA Noir had some pretty cool features with the facial recognition, stuff like that. So pretty interesting. Also, 360 Kinetic is more accurate than at launch. There's been some new patches, and some new technology that's came out to make it better. So pretty interesting there. Gears of War 3 beta is leaked. Huge development on Xbox 360. I know one friend who actually got a leaked key, and I watched. I hate Gears of War. I'm not a big fan of that. But it was pretty cool to see. Farmville, they came out and said all games should be free.
It's pretty interesting. Free to plays definitely gained a huge following inside the gaming world. They charge for other stuff and for items or for upgrading quicker, and they make more money off of it. It's been proven. It's been done. FIFA did it for EA. iPhone, Nintendo rules out making smartphone games. They just said it's not in their marketing plan right now, and they don't give a crap. PS3, PS4 with Kinetic, like technology to launch in 2012. So Xbox 360 has a Kinect. PS4 is supposed to be coming out in 2012. We'll see. I don't know if that's exactly true. There's some other articles that they've talked about that they won't be even releasing until 2014, but the world ends thanks to Nicolas Cage in 2012, so we don't have to worry about that, right? Again, UWO Insider does it. Another high-profile UWO player inside the community. He's done tons and tons to contribute. I know you guys have been waiting for this all week. JC, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Hey, JC, a lot of players have been wondering. Obviously, some are getting to hear your voice for the first time and just not text across the screen or seeing your website of UWOguide.com. But tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, who are you?
Well, I'm just a guy into computers. I like playing video games. Started in UWO in August of 1999. A friend introduced it to me that we played Magic the Gathering together, and then he said, hey, there's this cool game called Ultima Online. You should try it. So I bought it, brought it home. He taught me a couple things in the game, and I remember the first thing he did was he opened up a gate to his small house. And he brought me inside, and then he killed me. And that was my introduction to the game. And I think that's how it went for a lot of people. So I've been playing UWO mostly ever since, but since about the Stygian Abyss expansion, I haven't been playing as much. I've just lost a bit of that fire, I think, and interest in the game, but I still run UWOguide.com, administer that, and I also run the Hot Guild of Atlantic Shard website and forums. They're pretty popular. The public forum is especially popular for the PvPers to discuss their recent exploits and post their screenshots of each other, and it's pretty fun. So that's pretty much my whole experience with UWO.
Do you play any other games outside of UWO? Console or PC?
Yeah, I play some consoles, some Call of Duty, some single-player games. I haven't much recently, past couple years, but I used to be a big console guy before UWO with, like, GoldenEye and stuff and Super Mario. I haven't tried any other MMOs. I did try World of Warcraft, but I never went past the 14-day trial. I've played around a little bit with EVE Online. It seems interesting, but I'm very hesitant to get into another MMO. I play too many games. I'm trying to play StarCraft 2, and I'm also interested in Magic the Gathering Online again. Too many games out there. You got to keep them at bay, or you'll lose all your free time.
Exactly. Do you have any hobbies or interest outside of UWO, or... I mean, computers is definitely one of your main things.
Yeah, I'm interested in a lot of things. I like to do programming, community project stuff. I also like to do a bit of woodworking. I'm also started up gardening this year. I'm interested in tons of things, and I could be here all day listing off the hobbies I got.
So on the UWOguide.com side, what gave you the idea to start UWOguide?
Well, UWO Guide started back in 2006. This was a time when Stratix was pretty much the only site around. UWO Power Gamers used to be a popular website, but it went by the wayside. And then another site called UWO Stuff came on the scene. It started with a wiki, and that focused mostly on the recent Mondain's Legacy expansion. So after about a year, that site seemed to be going inactive as well, and Stratix was very out of date. It's not like it is today where they're updating each week. Some content, I remember there's some skills on there, some UO skills, which were still not listed, like the Discordant skill, which was in the game for a couple of years, I think, at that point, and it still wasn't even listed under the site. So I decided that someone should step in and try to make a website. So I started up UO Guide, and it really took off after a couple of months. I think we're up to about 6,000 pages now of articles.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's we have some really solid contributors like Conjiniac and Nimwack and Tancred Redstar, and there's too many to list. We've had hundreds of contributors over the years, and a couple hundred more who have maybe only edited one time. And if you that's all you want to do, that's great. It really helps out when you fix a spelling error or change a number, which could be pretty huge when there's a statistic out of date or something like that, because the developer's been adding so much. And I'm sorry to say, but I think UO Guide is starting to get a little out of date, and we need to really step it up and try to get those more recent patches up to date.
So what is a typical day for you when you actually work on UO Guide? I mean, is it more just behind the scenes, or is it you kind of going through page by page and you know, checking the accuracy of stuff?
Well, I used to be very active on the contributing side. When a new stuff came out, like the 9th anniversary items, the token thing, the heritage, that had 50 items on it. And I remember I spent about 2 or 3 days taking screenshots of all that stuff. And it was a lot of work. But for the past couple months or past while now, I've been mostly handling the technical side and leaving the content updates to our staff that I mentioned earlier. So I'd like to get back into the actual content updates, but it's so much work to maintain, and I'm maintaining several other UO websites, so it's just too much work for one person to handle.
Sounds like you need a whole entire staff to keep things going.
Yeah, it would be wonderful to have as many people as Stratix has.
Yeah, it would be. You know, you mentioned on some of the things you feel are kind of falling behind, just due to, you know, player interaction, etc. What sections do you feel then need the most improvement on UO Guide?
Well, one thing that UO Guide has always lacked is mostly the guide part. We have a lot of detail information, like every single spell in the game has a nice page that details exactly what the spell does and the mana cost and stuff, but we don't really have any things on the website which detail how you would play a mage or how you would play a spellweaver and stuff like that. Also, I started a new player guide, but it never really got past the setting up a character part. So there's a lot of guide stuff that I would like to see done at some point, but just keeping up with the content, especially recently, the developers are adding a lot of different things to the game. It's not been very quiet.
What type of traffic do you see on UO Guide? I mean, is it quite a bit? And this is a question coming from a player who's, I would imagine the view on the question is trying to, you know, quantify the player population wise.
Well, we get tens of thousands of visits per month, unique. We break in a million paid views a month. I think it's about comparable to what Stratix receives. I haven't seen their statistics, but from web analytics points, when you look at the traffic and stuff, it seems about comparable, so we're just about as big as Stratix, and we're being visited by thousands and thousands of people per month.
That's great. Do you at UO Guide get any feedback, or have you had any contact from the development team or any of staff that has given you feedback or et cetera on UOGuide.com?
Well, UOGuide is a website that's over 5 years old now, and the UO team, while the UOGuide staff has remained pretty constant with me at the helm, we've seen two or maybe up to four different UO team staffs, four community representatives at the point, and it's always different between how each UO team interacts with the community websites. We have not received any direct communication from UO in a long time now. I've reached out to them several times in the past, and it's mostly been positive. There was a comment maybe a couple months ago I saw on Stratix, someone pointed me to, that a UO staffer posted a link to UO Guide and made a comment that it's their favorite resource or something. So the UO team definitely knows and appreciates our site, and that's good to know.
With the current state of the way UO community is right now, what are your opinions about, you know, the current state of the game, UO fan sites, and just the community in general?
Well, I think it's difficult. It's pretty difficult at the moment, the way UO is going. We're not getting the updates that people think we should be getting, I think, at this point. We're supposed to be getting a booster every 6 months, they said a while ago, and here we are 10 months later since high seas, and we haven't heard anything about what's coming up. And so it seems that the UO community is in a downward trend at the moment, and it's hard to get people engaged in doing website stuff. We've seen a drop off in the number of contributors on UO Guide in the past months. It's not like it used to be back in the golden days of like the 2000 to 2002.
Exactly.
When people were jumping, there's websites all over the place, people creating their own art, their songs, there's stuff like that, and forums and everything. And it's just like more stuff. More community websites seem to be going offline than are being created. I can't even recall the last big UO website that came up online. I think actually your podcast is, what you're doing with this podcast is pretty wonderful. I've been wanting to do a podcast sort of thing for a couple of years now. I heard, I looked into what the podcast history of UO was, and there used to be a guy called Midas, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he did about 20 or something podcasts. And there might have been another person, but I don't remember. So this type of community stuff is pretty wonderful, and I wish more people would do it.
Yeah, it definitely helps. And I've said it before, one of the main reasons of me trying to do this is, A, to bring back community, but also just bring a different spin to people. While there might be some preconceived notions about, like, for instance, who you are in-game, maybe after someone hears this, it'll change their views, per se. So if EA was to hire you tomorrow as a community manager, what would you change?
Something that has always irked me about the way the developers handle is their communication to the players and how they convey their future plans. It's just they like to keep the whole thing a mystery, and it's other games, other MMOs like EVE Online and to a lesser extent World of Warcraft, they let you know what's coming out several months in advance or even years in the case of EVE Online. And it's just so comforting to know what's going to be coming up on the horizon. But for UO, you don't even know what the next patch is going to bring. And the reason the developers state this is because their plans are so dynamic and changing, but that doesn't seem like a very good development strategy to not even know what's going to be coming out in the next month or so. So it would just be so nice to know what the next publisher is going to bring. I don't even think we know at this moment what the next publisher is bringing. So
with UO as a whole right now, I just saw a post on UO Stratix yesterday that was talking about how the GM support in game has obviously slipped quite a bit, and now we're dealing with GMs who don't even play UO. There was a screenshot taken with a GM with a player who said, you know, they were, you know, their parting text or macro for their text, and said, you know, thank you for playing Camelot Online. How do you think in-game support as a whole as well has contributed just to the failure of UO? No, I shouldn't say failure, just to the decline.
Well, I don't think it has much of a impact on the day-to-day stuff. If you have an issue, it can definitely be a problem for you as a player, but on a whole, the customer support is manageable. It's certainly upsetting when you drop some items below your house and a GM can't make it before the 4 hours can get there. But as for the consolidation, this has been going on for a long time. Since Mythic was put in charge of UO, they've been consolidating. So it's just the fact that they're going to push down the number of GMs until they have the bare minimum required. And it would be nice to have more GMs, but I don't know. I rarely deal with GMs on any level. If I lose something, it's just like, well, that's gone. So
if you had a message for the UO team, I mean, I know you just kind of covered it if you were to take over on the community manager side, but if you had a message for UO in the EA Mythic studio, what would it be?
It would be please work on some more PvP related, like they were talking about arenas and then that was mysteriously pushed away, and then they teased us with the whole factions thing last year, and then that was put on the back burner. At one time, there was a statistic directly from some EA person or a UO team member that said 25% of people play UO only to PvP. Now this is a couple years old, so the PvP side is certainly a sizable portion. And whenever people talk about on forums and stuff, they're always discussing how great PvP used to be in UO. They're not talking about how they killed the Balron or something, or one of the new Peerless. It's always been about how the players have interacted with each other, mostly in a PvP context. So it would be great if they could focus on something PvP. They did the recent revamp, combat balancing, not a revamp. There were some minor tweaks in there that are beneficial, people are seeing, like the cursed apple change. But it's really put some type of metaphor in here for a small change when much bigger ones should be done.
So, JC the Builder in-game, who are you? What's your favorite character?
Well, it's kind of funny because JC the Builder was just a lumberjack I made that started making wooden shields, and then he turned into sort of a fighter. But then I went over to another character, a mage called Link, and that's what a lot of people on Atlantic know me by, but mostly on the internet and the forums, I use the moniker JC the Builder. So I'm just a mage who went around doing a bunch of different PvP things. That's mostly what I'm interested in UO, and mostly why I've not been playing of recent. I've been in a hot guild for a long time, since 2003, when Champion Spawns came around, joined the guild, been doing that for a while. And then that's up to most recently. We've been pretty much all that we were doing was Champion Spawns, because nothing else PvP Rise has been brought into the game since then, which is kind of sad. Been doing thousands of spawns over the years, and eventually that got boring, so I've sort of taken a break from UO and hoping that something will come along and bring back my interest.
That's too bad High Seas didn't do it for you.
No, I think a lot of people were putting their hopes on High Seas for bringing back a lot of interest in UO, but the content just wasn't there. All they added were some pirate ships that you can shoot, and there's no PvP-related content, really. No incentive to go out on those high seas and do those nice battles with the cannons, which a lot of people are irked by, the number of steps you have to do and stuff like that. It's just too bad that expansion, a lot of people were looking forward to, and it just didn't materialize as they hoped.
Dislike-wise, not including the development team or, you know, stuff like that, or PvP, what things or thing do you dislike the most in UO?
That's a difficult question. There's not one thing I really dislike the most. There's a lot of little things I don't like, and a lot of things that I wish... It's mostly, I didn't leave UO. I'm still interested in UO. I didn't stop playing because I didn't like something. It's that there wasn't something for me that I liked a lot. Like, I used to be really interested in PvP, and that just grew really boring. So nothing really drove me away from UO. It just got boring, so I'm not playing. There's many different bugs I could name and stuff that's irritating, but I like the game as a whole, and I like all its flaws and stuff like that. It's all part of the game.
Other than champ spawns, PvP, is there anything else inside the game that you do?
Well, I used to do rare collecting a lot, but a couple incidents, such as losing the entire contents of my house to a bug, that's certainly something I disliked. And there was a GM interaction incident, which you might have heard of Wintermore.
Yeah.
That something happened there. And GM ended up taking all the rares away. So after that, I just sort of lost all my interest in rare collecting. But I like every part of the game except fishing. I never got into fishing. That's about the only thing in UO I've never done. And half the High Seas expansion focused on fishing. So that
kinda,
really
kinda
didn't
lost
do it for me when that expansion came out.
Lost your interest right off the bat.
Yeah.
Other than Atlantic, any other shards did you play?
No. I've never been really interested in playing all the shards. I've made my home on Atlantic, and that's where I want to play the most. I don't really understand these other MMOs like World of Warcraft, where people are rolling on 50 different shards, new characters all the time. I just like to make one character and do what I can.
So the good topic, of course, has to come up, cheating. We all know the programs. What's your thoughts on them?
My thoughts are cheating has been around forever. Since UO came online, the day one, someone has written a cheat for it. And UO has gotten along just fine. And I think a lot of people blame cheating, or scripting in particular, for the decline of the game. But scripting was just as popular back in 2002 when UO was at its peak subscribers as it is today. And every game has the scripting and botting problems. World of Warcraft, EVE Online. And so it's a problem, and the developers should certainly manage it to reduce it as much as possible, but eliminating it, no one has found that silver bullet, which is going to take out all the cheating. Even with the Punk Buster and stuff like that, people still manage to get around it. So if people should just go along and enjoy the game and hope that the developers will do what they can. It would certainly help if they had more GM support, because when to take care of scripting, you really need a GM to sit there for a couple of minutes to see someone. And if you only have one GM online, they're not going to be able to focus on put in the time that it takes to get rid of those scripters. But it's such a customer support intensive process. I think World of Warcraft once said they had over 1,000 people devoted to customer service, GM support. It's just crazy, and they can't even take care of the scripting problem in that game. So people just need to let it go, and if it does affect you in some way, then you shouldn't complain to the developers. It affects you directly, not indirectly, like someone's macroing up their skills. But if someone's like using a script to chug potions every time they get poisoned, just sick a GM on them to poison them 100 times and then watch them chew up all their cure potions and then ban them. That's what I think about the whole cheating issue.
So definitely some thoughts been put into that.
Yeah, I bring up the cure potion thing because I once did that to someone. They were sitting in their house AFK. I threw down a poison field on the wall and they just started chugging cure pots like no tomorrow. And then eventually they ran out and they died.
It's a way to do it.
Yeah.
So JC, UO Stratix or UO Forms?
In what context?
The classic debate.
each site has their own community. Stratix is obviously the more popular one, and UO Forms, they've got quite a few solid posters there. It really depends on who you wanna post on. There's millions of forms on the internet, and you can't post on them all. You should check out each one and decide. UO Forms is more of a small-knit community. Everyone knows everyone there, and Stratix is more of a, if you wanna try to get the developer's attention, you can generally post on the U-Haul. But it's really up to each person. It's like the Stratix versus UO Guide thing. You can go look on Stratix, go look on UO Guide, see who has the most information for you. And it's just a matter of personal preference where you want to go.
So let's see. Do you support any other fan sites, or do you contribute to any other fan sites? I mean, there's not many out there, but.
Well, I'm supposed to be contributing to UORares.com. Xanther, who ran that site, handed it over to me, but I haven't done much since about 2004 on there. I mostly contribute to UO Guide and the Hot Guild website, which handles the forums. I think that's plenty of responsibility. It's more than enough for one person.
I don't blame you.
So thank you, JC, for joining us this week. I really appreciate you taking your time out of the schedule. It was definitely tough to organize times with me being Australian time. It's just an inside joke. This week, again, or this coming up week, I'm not going to do an interview this week. I think I'll just space them out to every other week, and then we'll go from there. I think they're definitely a positive impact to the UO community as long as the development team is listening to the podcast. So I think if we just keep sending them to them, like I do, every week I send them a nice little packaged email saying thanks for your support. I don't think they like it, but we will see, right?
This is the segment for Ultima Online UO Insider Player Rant. This week brought to you by Static.
Okay, so this week my rant is about Siege and gold transferring. Here's the deal. Most players, like me, have left proto shards due to f***ed up economies. And then there's players, and I'm just going to list the few that are on the board in the last five pages. And some of you guys are listeners, and I really didn't pay attention to it until just recently. And I know you guys are just offering a service. You guys are looking to get something from your proto shard all the time that you put in. But it's ridiculous, guys. The main traders seem to be Soulweaver. A buyer is War, W@R, Rupert Avery, which, Rupert, you're a pretty good guy. I've met you in game. And then Baby Doll. You guys are killing Siege. You guys are f***ing with the economy on Siege. Yeah, there's not that many players there. I would say there's probably less than 50 players that play every single day. That's not a lot. And when you guys are importing millions every freaking time, that completely just destroys the economy. You guys are, and I know it's a game, haha, I get it. But you guys have inflated the economy to a point where you guys left the shard, your proto shard, because that shard was too f***ed up. And yet you move to another shard because it's going to be better to f*** it up again. So I don't understand. That's my rant this week. I keep seeing players on Siege posting for this, asking for this, in general chat, etc. And it just annoys the shit out of me. Because someone like me, who has a ridiculous amount on Atlantic, I'm not going to transfer a damn dime. And on Siege, I'm completely starting from scratch. So, again, I'm not bashing your services, and I'm not bashing on you guys selling stuff. But I would ask you guys to stop exferring, transferring gold back and forth. That's my plea to you guys. That completes this week of UO Rant. UO Insider subscribers, if you're a subscriber, please send an email to uopodcast@gmail.com. Inside that email, include your contact information. I will send you a lottery number when next week we will read it live. Well, live to me, kind of a few hours behind for you guys. You guys will have a raffle, per se. In that, the prize is worth over 40 million gold on any of the major proto shards. I'm sure everyone would like to get that. Pretty cool items and some checks in there. So with that, go ahead and send me your email and contact information. You have to be a subscriber to win. So this week I'm changing up the format a little bit. On Shard to Shard News, when I do the podcast, usually the developments of an event will come out in the middle of the week for that weekend. And by then, either the event is gone or I would have to record a podcast and put it in the middle of the week or before the weekend, since that's when most events happen. So I'm not going to do Shard to Shard News per se anymore, but next week we are going to have a new feature where we feature, I just said feature twice, where we're going to actually, have a, kind of like township thing. We're going to do a review on whether it's a cool place or a cool player or, you know, something like that. So I'm going to change it up a little bit, and maybe just talk about, you know, an event that happened on a shard instead of being late and just knowing what's kind of going on. There's some new developments coming in with UO Insider. It's pretty exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. On a serious note, there is a video down below that I'm going to post on this, and you guys can click on the link. He's a police officer was a police officer in a city called Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. In 2004, he was almost fatally shot. It's a huge inspirational video. Please go ahead and share it with your friends. Click the link, give them some views on that. And I challenge you guys to watch the whole entire video. It definitely gives you a general background of kind of where I come from. Obviously it's not me, but I believe in this type of stuff. So thank you guys again so much for listening. We will see you next week. Remember, click the link below. Click like on Facebook. and share it with your friends. Peace.